Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Felipe's a really good major league reliever that has 4+ years of potential contribution. And while we've not put ourselves at the present time to be a playoff caliber club, the optimism remains there that we're going to fight as hard as we can this year to turn that around. If not, we are going to work to be a postseason club next year. And to have a player of the caliber of Felipe Vasquez is incredibly helpful to do that.
All right. Thanks for finding us on this Thursday afternoon. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan. Pirates made very few moves at the trade deadline, sent Corey Dickerson to Philadelphia. That was really it. A lot of reports and rumors on the Felipe Vasquez trade front. Most of them revolved around Los Angeles and the Dodgers' interest in the All-Star closer. We're joined right now by Ned Colletti, former Dodgers GM, Sportsnet LA, Dodgers analyst, guy that's had many conversations with Neil Huntington over the years. Ned, what's your understanding here? Do you think it really got close between the Pirates and Dodgers? Do you think there was ever a point in the last few days where maybe either side felt like a deal was done?
Well, probably not done, but I'm guessing, probably educated guess, that they talked probably up until the last few minutes, and I think it there's a lot of talent involved on both sides of it, and two teams that are kind of in different positions right now, one trying to win a World Series and the other one trying to get back to the playoffs. So, I can understand the positions of both sides, and sometimes you don't make a deal just to make a deal. You make a deal if you can really make your club better, and I think that if they both thought that way, they probably would have had a press conference.
Ned, do you feel like the Dodgers went into this deadline feeling like getting that elite bullpen arm was like priority number one? Did they feel like that was their main objective in all this?
Well, I'm guessing that it was their number one objective. I also, I'm going to watch them play all the time,
yeah.
Probably, every day practically. They have so much depth to them, and their creativity with their roster, be it position players, be it pitching, they're not somebody that ever puts themselves in a desperate spot. And I think that they do have options. You've got Julio Urias has been a very good pitcher for them, left side, still young, 22, 23 years old. He may end up in a bullpen. You've got Dustin May, who is one of their top prospects, perhaps their top prospect, one or two, depending on who you talk to, along with Gavin Lux. He's going to start on Friday night, I think, in the big league. So they do have some other options. Maeda, who's pitched out of the pen for them in October before, chance that he'll be back in the pen too. So I think they do what every great organization does, be it sports or be it business, and they never put themselves in a spot of desperation.
Ned Colletti,
I think that they have choices.
Joining us, former Dodgers GM. Ned, give us the Dodgers' argument for why it would not have made sense for them to trade Gavin Lux or Dustin May to the Pirates for Felipe Vasquez.
Well, nobody knows their players better than the team that the player's with. And I think the organization, they know their player, whatever organization is, they know their players inside out. And they know not only the type of player they are, but the type of people they are, and also what they would be able to do and accomplish in a market that's L.A., and I don't think L.A. is made for everybody, but I do think that those that are really game for the utmost in competition and the top of the line and the lights, when the lights are the hottest, I think takes a lot. And I got to assume strongly that they felt that both Gavin and Dustin are two guys that are going to impact this club really soon and do it in a good way. I think when you look at baseball, it's one of the toughest things to do in any sport, but I really think in baseball it's tougher because of the length of season and the trading deadline being how it is. And that's to win and develop at the same time. talking about a team that's won six straight divisions, been to the series the last two times. Best player is probably 23 years old. Perhaps your best pitcher is 23 years old. The shortstop, 24 years old. Dustin May has come up and hit. You've got another, or Will Smith has come up and hit, you know, and caught. You've got another guy that's a young player. So to be able to do that is not easy. And I think their goal is to sustain what they've got. And players are going to come and go, but as long as they can keep that core together and not have a core that gets old. We find very few franchises in baseball that haven't hit the wall because of long free agent signings and age. Mm-hmm. Age is undefeated. And I think that you're seeing something special with the Dodgers because they're six in a row, but they're also the core of that club is really not even 25 years old yet. That's tough to do. But they do it because they hang on to guys like they've hung on to.
We're talking to Ned Coletti, former Dodgers GM, Sportsnet LA Dodgers analyst. I want to ask you about that last point you made because I guess from our perspective in Pittsburgh, it's hard to conceptualize or understand how the Pirates, who have picked in the top half of the draft almost every year with the exception of 13 through 15, and then the Dodgers, who pick near the bottom of every draft because they're in the playoffs every year, win the NL West every year, have won the National League the last two seasons. How is the Dodgers farm system, Ned, so loaded when they're in theory picking at the back end of every round? How did that happen?
Well, it's tough for me to look into anybody else's organization. I can only look into one. I look into that one from a distance at this point. You know, you've got to draft well, and it's a tough thing. You've got to be also very wise with your picks, and you've also got to do a lot internationally. I think the combination is really how you sustain excellence. For many years, we did not even get involved in international when previous ownership during most of my tenure. We spent, I think, $180,000 one year internationally. So I think the combination is important. I think you just have to have good scouts and also good player development people. I've never seen an organization like this one lately that brings up young players that don't really struggle. They come in and they are gung-ho, and they're not all top picks. Matt Beatty's got five home runs, I think three of them late in games to win games. He's not a high pick. He was a deep pick, but he knows how to play. And I think you have to look at a lot of different things. You know, to me, it was always as important, if not more important, who was inside the uniform than anything else, because that's going to take, you know, that's going to test you when you get to the end of the season or when you're going to try to play in October, which is always really not the goal of LA, but it's really almost a requirement. And I think it takes a lot to do it. Not every team's been successful for it. Every team has had misses on the draft. I think there's a lot of different aspects to it. It's a very long checklist of things you have to be able to accomplish when you're picking players out of high school or college, and they've got a long way to go.
Ned, one of the trades that's been referenced when we were talking about the proposed or the potential Felipe Vasquez to the Dodgers trade was, you know, in Chicago, they went 108 years without winning a World Series, and Theo Epstein said, you know what, if I've got to trade Gleyber Torres for 2 months of Aroldis Chapman, I'll do it. Because at the time, he was the best closer in baseball, and they win the World Series. So we were wondering in Pittsburgh if there was pressure inside the Dodgers organization to make the same kind of move. Team had a bullpen falter in the playoffs the last 2 years. Would there be internal pressure, even if it cost them Gavin Lux or something close, to find an elite closer at the trade deadline?
Well, I think there's always different types of pressures on different organizations, different people. It varies from place to place, person to person. I think when you look at what the Cubs did, yeah, certainly they were trying to break a 108-year dry spell. I mean, I grew up in Chicago. My first 13 years I spent with my hometown team, the Cubs. I get it. I understand it completely. If you also look back at that series, if you look back at Game 6 and Game 7, it wasn't because of Chapman that they won the World Series.
No, he ran out of gas.
So, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to go get anybody and it's going to make that big a difference. This isn't the NBA where one player, two players can really change a franchise's fortunes almost overnight. Baseball's not like that. You've still got Kenley Jansen at the back of that bullpen, who's probably as good as anybody in the game. A little bit of hiccups here and there this year, and who knows why, but, I mean, he's still got good velocity, great cutter, competes, will take the ball multiple innings, multiple times. There's no guarantee that you end up winning it because you win July 31st. And, you know, it's a great buildup, a lot of anticipation, and anticipation leads to expectation. And when expectation isn't met by 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific on the 31st day of July, yeah, people go, you know, go off on that. But does it guarantee you anything? I don't think it guarantees it. Does it make your chances better? Yeah, it probably improves your chances. But they're very judicious in what they do. Look at Andrew Friedman's track record. It's been stellar. He goes out and gets big guys, but he doesn't typically try to overpay it. And he said yesterday, too, he knew he had to pay somewhat of a premium for it. And he felt that at some point, no matter who he was talking to, and he felt that some of the deals he was a little bit underwater on, in his words, that, you know, he knew he was, you know, paying a little bit more, paying a dollar something for a dollar, but he makes up his mind that, hey, you know, it's not in our best interest to do this right here or not. Trust me, Andrew Friedman wants a World Series as bad as anybody, as bad as Lasorda, as bad as anybody. But you got to be judicious with what you do, too. There are no guarantees in any of this. And I think he believes that there is enough depth between moving your starting pitching around, doing some different things. I mean, Walker Buehler, I don't know how many times you get a chance to see Walker Buehler. If they had enough starting pitching and they had an idea to use Walker Buehler maybe in one game, maybe in two games out of the bullpen, I don't know who touches him up. Mm-hmm. So there's other ways of doing it. There's, you know, Walker Buehler may start. He may start every game that he can start in the month of October. He may also start some, but be available in others. By virtue of the lead that they have, they can do more. They have lead and they have depth. So they can do more experimentation. They can sit guys down. They can miss starts. They can have them go four innings by design. The other day, Ryu threw 80 pitches. Pitched great in Colorado. Threw 80 pitches. They weren't going to extend him to 90 or 100. They don't need to do that. So they use their ability to have depth, to have a great farm system, and also to have a 14-15 game lead. So they do everything in a little bit different way than we would say by the book or the old-fashioned way. So I'm not sure that we know what their bullpen is going to look like, but I wouldn't be surprised if it looked terrific by
interesting
mix and matching.
Ned Coletti, former Dodgers GM. If you were calling the shots now, if you were the Dodgers GM yesterday, would you have traded Gavin Lux for Felipe Vasquez?
Tough to say.
Tough.
That's you know, I love you guys, but probably a question I don't want to get into.
That's a tough one.
I don't know enough about it.
Okay,
know?
Fair
enough. I've seen your guy pitch. I've seen the other guy in reports and seen him in the spring. I don't know enough about either player to really say either way.
How about Kyber Ruiz, the Dodgers catcher? What can you tell me about him? Has his stock fallen off? Might there be a reason why the Pirates, who have no catching to speak of in their organization, why maybe they didn't want to take him back as the centerpiece of the deal, Ned?
Well, again, I don't know. I don't want to get in. I love Neil and got a lot of respect. I don't want to get into his scouting or his Ruiz, I think, is going to be a big league catcher.
You do?
He's,
okay.
He's behind Will Smith. But I think that, you know, that's really for people that have got a better insight into it than I do.
Ned, do you think that the playoffs are a crapshoot? There's a quote in the LA Times from Friedman today, and there's an opinion attached to it from an LA Times writer that basically says the Dodgers organizationally believe that, you know, you build a team for 162 games, and then what happens in the playoffs happens in the playoffs, that it's a coin flip. Do you agree with that?
I think to some extent. I mean, you've seen wild card teams make it to the World Series. You've seen wild card teams win the World Series. I think San Francisco maybe did that twice.
Yep.
So I think it's possible. I think it's somewhat of a crapshoot because you need, if you're heavily favored, so to speak, and you lose the opening game at home, suddenly things do change, especially when you got a best of five series to start the thing off after somebody's going to play it in. So I do think it is a little bit of a crapshoot. I think, though, you know, the more depth you've got and the more experience you've got, I think it does pay.
Ned, what's the reaction there been to the Dodgers at the deadline? Is it in Andrew Friedman we trust, in the Dodgers we trust? We've been to back-to-back World Series. Just from what you can gauge, what's it been like in L.A. the last 24 hours since the trade deadline has passed?
Well, I think initially social media was, you know, was really doubting the move or lack of the move. I think as time goes on, people kind of think it through a little bit more and understand it. And I think the more that they take a step back and pay attention, I mean, you know, paying attention is sometimes a lost art. You know, you pay attention to what everything there is And really the versatility that they've got, like I just said, and I don't say that for any other reason than I believe it.
Yeah.
That you look at things differently, you know, and I think that, you know, initially it was like, oh, geez, but see, you have so much expectation leading up to this, and the anticipation is, I mean, it's for 10 days, it's all you're talking about. Whether they win or lose is kind of a secondary story to, hey, are they getting closer to making a big deal? You know, that when it doesn't happen to the magnitude people expect, it's like, oh, woe is us. How, you know, what are we doing? But, hey, you know what? Look at the record. Look at the record.
Ned Coletti.
It's not easy to win.
No.
It's not easy to win. Not easy. They haven't won the World Series the last 30-some years. They've been the last two. Getting to the World Series, check around. Not that easy.
The Pirates haven't been to one in 40, so I totally get what you're saying. Ned Coletti, former Dodgers GM, Dodgers analyst for Sportsnet LA. Ned, thanks so much for giving me so much time.
Always a pleasure,
I appreciate
guys.
It. You bet. There you go. Ned Coletti.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.